Carla was 28 years old, and she was just beginning to make it as an actress in New York City. She had been cast in a minor role in a sitcom, and her agent had gotten her an audition. She was supposed to read a script down in New Orleans for a part in a movie. Her schedule was full, her life was exciting, and she was very organized. So she decided, rather than flying from New York to New Orleans, she was going to take the train and on the train catch up with all of her emails, study her script, text her friends, just relax. Amtrak runs a train from New York City to New Orleans in about 30 hours. So she had a lot of time to do her work. Carla sat down on the train and got on her iPhone and started responding to all those backed up emails that she hadn't had time to answer. And this baby started squawking across the aisle. Carla kept on, and the baby kept making noises, so she just looked over and gave the father a hairy eyeball. A young guy, he looked kind of disheveled, and he had a little boy, too. She got back to her emails. Her phone started acting funny, so she turned it off and tried restarting. That's what I do. I have no idea how to fix iPhones, so that's what I do. Well, she turned it back on, but it wouldn't come on. Oh, my God, she thought. What am I going to do? This was my time to get all of this done. I can't believe this stupid iPhone. And by this time, the baby had started crying, and she was about ready to pull out her hair. She looked over at that baby again, and she noticed that it was a little girl, and she was kind of cute. So she put her iPhone down, remembering what her mom used to do when she got upset. She made a silly face at the baby. And the baby stopped crying and looked at her. She put out her arms, and the baby put out her arms. And so she found herself bouncing this baby girl on her lap. Of course, soon the brother wanted to come over and find out who this lady was that was holding his sister. For the next few hours, she played with these children and realized that she hadn't played in years. And then they went to sleep. And she started talking to their dad. She didn't know if there was a mom in the picture or a spouse or what. Turns out his wife had been hit by a car and died just a little over a year ago. He said that he could hardly talk about it. They talked all night. And you know how these things happen. They fell in love. Years later, Carla would say that she would have never met her husband if her iPhone hadn't broken. Back in Jesus' time, the thing that was the most scarce, the thing that everybody was thinking about most of the time, was food. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have grocery stores. You had to catch the fish, cook it, and eat it. You had to knead the bread and bake it. And you had to find water in a desert-like climate. So it was meals that were scarce. It was meals that mattered. And when you went to eat, You would often sit close to the host because it meant that you would get a good portion of food. If there were a lot of people coming to a meal and you ended up sitting in the back somewhere, you might not get any. In the gospel for today, Jesus is telling us that when we go to sit down at the dinner table, we shouldn't sit up front where we're going to get the food right away. We should sit towards the back and wait and give space for strangers to sit in the seats of honor. Have you ever been really hungry and gone to a good restaurant and they serve your friend first and you say, "Go ahead." And your friend starts to eat and it's just hard, right? Can you imagine in Jesus' time when they really felt hungry, what it have felt like to sit in the back and wait while other people started to eat? But see, in our time, food is not scarce. Food is something that we take for granted. So I want to take this parable and I want to put it in today's context. And I think the thing that we are starving for today is not food. It's time. Because of technology and the way that our culture is developing, you and I are hungry for time. We don't feel that we have enough time. And so what Jesus is saying to you and to me is, I want you, instead of putting yourself in the seat of honor and taking up all the time in your life, I want you to give me some time. I want you to leave space in your life for the stranger. To leave space in your life to meet someone that you don't yet know, but you might just fall in love with. Someone who might even change your life. Do you know what the word angel means? It means messenger. It could be a celestial being, but angels can also be people. But if we are so busy and so frantic and our schedules are so packed that we don't have time to meet the stranger, how will we hear the angels? In the letter to the Hebrews, it says, open your home to the stranger because you might end up entertaining angels without being aware of it. The greatest sin of our time, the thing that prevents us most from growing close to God, is our busyness. We become so consumed with all the things we feel we have to do and with our technology that there's no room for the unexpected. There's no room for spontaneity. There's no room for looking at a beautiful tree. What if, as a spiritual discipline, you started in the car letting somebody in at least once a day in traffic? What if we tried to take the time to look into the eyes of someone we haven't met before and say, "How are you?" God is love. And God will often not push into our lives without us creating space for God. If we don't take a moment and put the cell phone down or turn off the computer, we won't know what God is doing next. Make space in your life for me. Jesus is saying. Just like at the Passover meal, they leave an empty seat for Elijah. What if we scheduled stranger time, God time, spontaneous time? In our world, we've got to fight for our time. We've got to fight to have time to play and pray and rest. We have got to actually remove other things from our calendar so that we can find time to be open to God's Spirit. You know, one of the greatest miracles in my life happened when I was in college, and I know that years ago I've told you this story before. I was going to Russia to work in an orphanage, and I had gathered a whole truckload of toys from my church. Everyone had donated all these toys so I could take them over to this orphanage. And I got to JFK Airport, and I was so young and so stupid. This was before 9/11 and terrorism and all that. So security wasn't like it is today. But nevertheless, they still had a weight limit, right? You can't just take your whole house on a plane. But I didn't think about that. I just thought about the children and what they needed. So I showed up to JFK Airport with, you would not believe how many boxes full of toys and balloons and bubble gum and clothes. And I stood there when I realized what I had done wrong and thought, there's no room. There's no room on the plane. There was a family of Orthodox Jews right in front of me in line. And when I told them what I was trying to do, the mother was first. She unzipped her suitcase and she said, I don't really need a hair dryer anyway. My hair looks terrible most of the time. She dropped it in the trash can and took a stuffed animal. And then she got rid of some of her clothes. She glared at her husband, and he opened his suitcase. It spread down the line. All these people, different ethnicities, different religions, no religion at all. When they found out what I was trying to do, they started throwing their stuff away, and they made room. They made room. We got every toy on that airplane, every single one. That is what Christ is asking you to do with your life. I know it's packed. I know. I know you don't feel like you have any time for God or for spontaneity. And I know that when you see someone coming at you that you don't know who needs something, you think, I don't have time for this. But God is saying to you, look at your life. There are things that you are doing that are less important than your relationship with me, and you can throw them away. Make time for me, says God. Make time for the unknown. Leave a space right near you, a space of honor in your life for God to do great things. Keep awake and watch then as your life unfolds before you. Today is the final Sunday of the summer, and it's called Rally Day, and the theme this year is there is space for you at St. John's. And there is. But is there space in your life for St. John's? Is there space in your life for worship and for service of some kind? If not, is there something that you can get rid of and make that time, that precious place of honor in your life for God? You know, there's a reason why the Christians for so many centuries have worshiped in the morning on the first day of the week. It's because we're saying to God, you come first. I'm going to be with you before I'm with anybody else, before I go to my job, before I run my errands. I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to just sit with you. There is space for you in God. But is there space in your life? God has so much for you if only you can make room for what God is doing. Amen.